Ding ding, stepping from the court. We in first black champ. Let it begin. Camp from the port. JR bang in the corner. Real talk, real heat. Tune in, now we on ya. Ding ding, stepping. Mic check. Let it spin. From the port, we in first black champ. Let it begin.
Yo, welcome to the latest episode of the First Black Champ Podcast. JR Bang, Kemp from the Port in the building. Hey, we got to go ahead and get started, Kemp, with some wrestling legends who've passed away. Yeah, let's start with Andy the Butcher Williams, who had passed away, 48 years old. Most notably seen him at AEW, Butcher and the Blade. He was wrestling at an event in a tag match last night at Enjoy Wrestling and experienced a medical emergency. He's passed away at 48. And superstar Bill Dundee, the Memphis wrestling legend. Also, for those who may remember Lord Steven Regal, he was his manager for a minute in WCW. I think it was Watson or something like that. I can't remember.
Absolutely. It was Watson.
He passed away at 82. His son, Jamie Dundee, announced. You can remember him with feuds with Jerry Lawler and Jimmy Valiant, wrestling with Austin Idol and all of them folks in Memphis wrestling. So rest in peace to Bill Dundee and the Butcher, and condolences to their families.
Yes, yes, indeed.
Yeah, I remember seeing Bill Dundee all through, you know, y'all heard me talk about USWA wrestling for years on his joint. And how, I mean, outside of the WWE and WCW, that was the wrestling that I always found myself watching. And lo and behold, Bill Dundee was one of those people who I saw. Like, dude was short as hell, whooping everybody ass and shit and everything. So, and I know we've talked about the Butcher and the Blade on here a couple of times. So, I mean, like, were you, did you, I never really asked this question. Did you watch USWA like I did? Like, were you in tune with that?
Not really. Most of it came when, as far as me knowing USWA, me and my manager, Maine Tillwell, shout to him. We used to go into this, this magazine store, well, it was always smoky in there. I shouldn't call it the cigar lounge, but it was like mad, like just cigarette smoke in there. But you could always see the Pro Wrestling Magazine. You could see Playboys. And we in there, 9 years old, looking through the Playboys and then looking at the wrestling magazines. And that's where I used to see USWA, like, updates. So now, obviously, for a little while, we didn't have cable. So the wrestling that I was learning about was through just the black and white pages of Pro Wrestling Magazine. So that's the first time I ever saw or ever heard of them. And then once I started just getting more information about wrestling and then ESPN2 and things like that, you might come across some different things. And then, of course, then YouTube became a thing, started Googling things. But when it was Ask Jeeves, you dig? and that's for real. Hey, I was asking Jeeves, my man. Never play with me. That's how I was learning a lot. But to be real, I never even seen it in my formative years past time outside of, you know, again, just reading the mags.
Yeah, like, that's when the nerd in me, that's when the nerd in me comes out. Because then that's when I was like, yo, I used to see Mean Mark in USWA, and now he's the Undertaker. That's when I see some other wrestlers. That's when I see Bill Dundee as Watson's. Like, yo, that's Watson. That's Bill Dundee from USWA. Like, Jerry Lawler has always been Jerry Lawler. But there's some wrestlers where you go and tell the homies about, and it's like, all right, man, you watching too much wrestling. Then when they end up in the WWF or they end up in WCW, it's like, oh, shit, that Undertaker cold. Oh, that's me, Mark Callis, fam. I don't even know what y'all talking about. It's like, who the hell is me, Mark? That's the dude that I was trying to tell y'all about that was in the USWA World Championship Tournament. just last year. He was killing Marge with the powerbomb and choke slamming and all that. Now y'all want to call him The Undertaker. So that's when the wrestling nerd comes out. But, man, rest in peace to both Bill Dundee and The Butcher, and condolences to the family. Also, want to get this out here real quick. In October, y'all, in October, we're going to be doing something different on First Black Champ. We're going to be talking about black wrestling, all right? But not in the normal way that you might even just hear us talking about it here. Really going to talk to black fans of wrestling about their love of the sport. Who was their favorite wrestler growing up? But who was the first black wrestler that they saw? What got them into the sport? And all things about black representation when it comes to wrestling. So y'all be ready for that. If y'all liked what we do with the real oral histories and everything, y'all definitely gonna love this. But let's start the show with AEW, y'all. Look.
Hey, look at y'all. Hey, look. Hey, you're welcome. You're welcome.
We are starting the show with AEW Wrestling. All In was last week. In fact, while we were closing out, the buy-in was starting, right?
Yeah.
So I got a chance to catch some of the matches on the buy-in pay-per-view. Britt Baker is back. She calls Maya World in her 90s theme song joint. She calls her the TNA Championship and everything. And we got the tease of what eventually would be the debut of not the New Day,
no, but
the New Level. And not only are they the New Level, they got Ferg licensing, y'all. They got Ferg, New Level, as their theme song. And Austin Creed, well, we'll get into that. But I just wanted to give a couple of real quick synopsis, some thoughts on AEW All In. Will Ospreay and Kenny Omega main eventing that night, two of the greatest intros I have ever seen in wrestling. Like when we go back and we go to WrestleManias and we see John Cena and we see Triple H, we see John Cena at WrestleMania with the Tommy Guns and all of that stuff. Yeah. CM Punk was one of those people. We see Triple H with the thrones and all. One thing I feel that AEW definitely is heads and shoulders above the WWE on is their main event entrances. And this one was no exception. Because Kenny Omega's with the Japanese anime and the whole audible joint was in Japanese. It was like it was New Japan Pro Wrestling. And then you got Will Ospreay's mom being the voiceover for his joint, and then going through his career and him going out to the ring, but he's passing his past. He's passing everybody that are notable in his past, even like Ricochet and Michael Echo and a couple of other people, his wife, and John Moxley gave him the flag. And what's crazy about that is his first opponent as AEW World Champion is going to be John Moxley here at All Out in Hoffman Estates. So
Hoffman Estates.
Yeah, because I'm not gonna say Chicago. I'm gonna say the Now Arena and Hoffman Estates, right? I ain't gonna in Chicago. You kiss my ass.
Hoffman Estates is definitely not Chicago. That's too far.
Yeah, y'all are not. Y'all are not in Chicago. Y'all in Chicagoland area. Y'all in Chicago, right? Now y'all in that Wintrust. But that match itself, man, Kemp, when I tell you that I ain't never seen these two dudes have a bad match with each other. This was, I'm not going to Meltzer it and give it a whole bunch of stars, but I ain't going to do that, even though it deserves whatever you want to give it. I'm just telling you that was a must-watch match. Willow Nightingale and Mercedes Moné. I'm with you. Mercedes Moné is the greatest women's wrestler of all time. I don't even think it's close at this moment. That match was proof positive of it. I know I picked Willow Nightingale to win, But Sasha Banks, former Sasha Banks, now Mercedes Moné, both of them did their thing. And, and their entrances was amazing, including Willow Nightingale's with the titty cannons.
See, I got to watch the intros. Yeah, I'm over here trying to watch the actual matches. And yeah, then the highlights. I got to watch the intros. She was in the motherfucker. So would I.
The New Day, like I said, is now the new level. They won the Trios Championship, which were Strickland. And then later on in the night, when Cope and Christian defeated the Superkick Twins, as I like to call them on here, the Young Bucks, all of the tag teams in AEW, I guess that matter, because Bobby Lashley and Shelton Benjamin didn't come out there. They weren't there.
Right.
You know how I feel today. Guess all of the tag teams, they felt that matter. Motor City Machine Guns, FTR, the Young Bucks was already in ring, and Cage and Cope. And then the new level comes out there and everything. I guess they wanted to show how big their tag team division is. That being said, all them niggas old when we think about it. I think the youngest team in there was the Young Bucks. But however, out of saying all of that, I think AEW is one mainstream star away from taking over the WWE. Let me say this one more time. I think they are one real mainstream star away from taking over. The reason why I feel this way is not because necessarily of the in-ring product, because I think AEW gets pay-per-view, PLE, right. They get that right.
Yeah.
TV is where I have a problem with AEW, but their pay-per-views, they get that right.
Mm-hmm.
But it's not about the in-ring product to me. It's about the presence of TKO. I think that TKO, and every time something comes out about TKO, WWE product, it sours the fans to the point where I think if you were a WWE fan and you watched All In, you watched a pay-per-view that made you go, oh, I think I need to start not only watching this more, but if you're tribal, you're not going to leave the WWE. And we ain't talking to the tribal people.
Yeah.
If I'm a casual fan, the only thing that's keeping me away from AEW is that I don't have a casual name to stake my claim.
I get you.
To say, I like this person. I'm going to watch this. You said something last week, and that to actually last couple of weeks. The ladies love Roman Reigns. They're going to turn out because of Roman Reigns.
Sure.
Roman Reigns has also been in numerous amount of movies at this point now. Roman Reigns also is the cousin of The Rock.
Yeah.
Right? He's going to be in Street Fighter next month. All of those things, right?
Yeah.
As much as I love Will Ospreay and Kenny Omega and some of these other folks, they ain't that.
Yeah. Yep.
They're not that. But they are this is the way that I position it. They are a Hulk Hogan Thunder Lips away. And for those who might be too young to understand what I'm talking about here, Hulk Hogan left the WWF because Vince Sr. did not want him to do Rocky III. Said it to do damage to the business. He said, I'm doing it. Vince Sr. was like, yo, he out. But after Rocky III and Hulk Hogan's in AWA, he's famous.
Yeah.
He's major. But they're not giving him the belt. Vince Jr. say, yo, we're about to go national. And now that we're about to go national, I need a major star. That's you. I need a larger-than-life superstar. January 1984, He becomes the champion. I don't even know who playing Macho Man around here, but now he's a major star. He has the championship. Hulkamania is born.
Yeah.
They are a Hulk Hogan Thunder Lips away getting that superstar of overtaking TKO, because while everything mostly is positive coming out of AEW, what's negative is coming out of TKO is apparently the new level says that pay cut that people said was 50% was more than 50%.
Yeah.
You start seeing people get released, and you start seeing those names like Sheamus and some of these other people who you thought was WWE lifers. And then you get some of the debates and the arguments we've been getting.
Yeah.
But I'm telling you, as somebody who is not necessarily even a casual fan of the AEW product,
right,
they are a Hulk Hogan Thunder Lips away from taking over the WWE. Mainly because of how TKO is treating the WWE product.
Yeah, I don't disagree with you. That's what I've kind of been saying again now, because at my core I'm a wrestling fan, and my algorithm is giving me wrestling, right?
Right.
But what happens with them getting me wrestling? They're giving me more AEW just by default. Now, granted, I do follow the AEW accounts, but I don't follow really any wrestlers. But the fact that when my, my engagement is with wrestling, they're giving me so much more TNA and so much more AEW now that it's almost like, damn, is wrestling even happening on WWE? And along with that, it feels like TKO Endeavor has leaned more into the male soap opera, more into the cinematography, more into the made-for-TV movie aspect of wrestling, the all the E without a lot of the other W, while AEW has leaned in more to the wrestling. And just like to the point, it's like, They're missing the budget, but they're also missing the star. And it's not that stars don't exist there, but who is going to be the person that gets people to watch AEW just because?
Yep.
Like just because they're there. And contrary to, I think, maybe popular belief, this might be popular, I don't think it's celebrities. I don't think it's the who's going to perform at All In or All Out. I don't think it's going to be any of that. I think it's who is, literally to your point, who is the Hulk Hogan Thunder Lips? Who's the Macho Man that's going to show up? Who's going to be that person that is, that has all of that E, but really wants to W? And then that's when I think, well, not even I think, I know for a fact, just from everybody's engagement, people are just paying attention more to the product, because now, for whatever reason, hopefully it's just good consultation, Tony kind of stepped back. I don't even remember the last time I seen his face. I don't remember the last time I seen him. I don't remember the last time I've seen...
Well, you ain't watched the scrums, so he'd be at the scrums and shit.
Boom. You know what I'm saying? It's like, get that out of here. So I don't watch the scrums, and it now I don't think people... Well, not even... I don't think, again. Nobody's trying to compete with Vince McMahon. Nobody's competing with Eric Bischoff. Nobody's trying to be that executive face anymore. And we back to the thing that we all really here for, which is the wrestling. And lo and behold, a wrestling company leads into wrestling. Wrestling happens, and wrestling fans get pleased. Who would have thought? Who would have thought? Like, clearly, we didn't, right? But does that leave a very high trajectory for 2027? Because, you know, I still don't think Cody Rhodes would be the guy. I still don't think CM Punk would be the guy.
Nah.
So he is out there. Sorry, ladies, but it's got to be a he, because women won't invest in wrestling because of women they like more than women with children that like men invested in the wrestling, the wrestler they like.
Yeah. One, it has to be a man, and two, I don't think it's somebody. Okay, let me ask you this question. I think this is a great question when it comes to this, because it's not like Hulk Hogan wasn't in the WWF before he became Immortal Hulk Hogan, mm-hmm. or Hulkamania and stuff like that. He was in. He had major matches.
Yeah.
In WWF before that. Just go look at Showdown and Shaq, right? Is there a wrestler currently, right now, male and female, I want a male and a female if possible, that is under the age of 40 that you feel that can go over from WWE to AEW and give them the star power that they need?
Under 40 is where it gets super tricky.
Mm-hmm.
But man, you know what? But at the same time, holding out on faith, I think if Dominic Mysterio gained 10 to 15 pounds of muscle, he'd be the guy. I really do believe that. Because he's mastered the E. You would love to say somebody like Bron Breakker. You would love to say, well, I mean, and I'm not totally off Obafemi. Like, there are some guys there, but do they have the E that bring the hoes out? Like, let's just call it what it is. I'm done being politically correct. Look, no matter what you do as a man in business, you got to bring the hoes out. If the hoes not messing with it, it ain't it. It ain't it. Like, and if you see something that the hoes like, you got to keep doing it. That's what I'm learning as I'm trying to revamp and really reestablish who I want to be in this creator space. Because the hoes get attention. The hoes get unwanted attention. And the hoes bring money. And the hoes going to spend money. The hoes going to get his money and spend his money. The hoes might even take their kids' money and spend that money too. So you got to get the hoes invested. The reason why Cypher's be real cool for about 90 days and then we be like, because there's only dudes watching it. Women don't care about your wordplay.
They don't.
Unless it's about how you about to spend money on them and eat their coochie. That's what they care about.
You're right.
You know what I'm saying? So, like, hey, look, again, with all this madness about who Roman Reigns being overrated, no, he bring the hoes out. John Cena brought the hoes out. Like, and the hoes bought their kids red shirts. Like, that's what this is all about.
Or the man,
the game ain't changed.
Bought the t-shirts for the
absolutely. Hey, look, the game ain't changed. Women and children predict the market. That's how good your product is. If women want it and they want it for their children, it's a great product. That's and that will never change. I work with a woman who takes her family to Disney every year. Ain't nobody 12 and under. And they still going to Disney. Mm. You got to get the hoes interested. The hoes not interested in AEW. And unfortunately, you know, look, Jake Cargill wouldn't be the person. Unfortunately, hey, look, that's for us. But y'all want to know why she ain't ascended to the top? Niggas ain't buying nothing. We're here to watch her. We screenshot her. Y'all jacking off to her. They can't sell that. She gotta sell something. She gotta sell something. That's how she gets to the top of the marquee. So, hey, look. Hey, yes. Yeah. Hey, the Godfather lost his host. And what happened? Right to censor. Then what happened? Future Endeavor. That's what happened.
Oh, man. This is definitely taking a turn that I wasn't expecting. I ain't going to say you wrong. I'm not going to say you wrong. Because if we were to look at the most popular, if we were to name, I'm going to name you five wrestlers.
Mm-hmm.
I'm not going to use the term hoes here.
For sure. You know, respect. women out there, we love you.
The main reason why is because I've learned in these past couple of years how much women love wrestling. They got their own podcast and everything.
That's true.
But so I'm gonna be the politically correct one here. When normally I'm not. I'm going to be the politically correct one here.
Mm-hmm.
I'm going to name you five wrestlers, and you tell me if the ladies love them or not.
Okay.
Sting.
Yeah. In that 90s Sting especially. Like early, like 92 to 95? Yes.
Okay. Ric Flair.
Even when they denied it. Apparently they did.
Yeah.
Hey, matter of fact, hold on real quick. Ric Flair had the most random looking 80s sexy women like in the stands dying to get on Space Mountain. And that was the promo sometimes.
Hulk Hogan.
I'm on the fence with this because I think Hogan maybe attracted them because of the look, but honestly, I think kids loved Hulk Hogan.
So you see where I'm going. So I'm starting with the ladies first.
Yes.
Macho Man.
See, it was how he was treating this girl, though, that made me like.
You see where I'm going. So let's move. Bret Hart. Did you see the ladies love Bret Hart?
Yes. Matter of fact, hey, listen, the first person that ever called Bret Hart their favorite wrestler was a woman. To me, the first person that ever said Bret Hart's my favorite wrestler was a woman.
Okay. The last person that I put out here, Stone Cold Steve Austin.
Yeah. And I was actually shocked by that.
See?
But Stone Cold. Not Stunning Steve, if I'm being
right. Yes, that's Stone Cold. All right, now let's go to the kids. All right, Hulk Hogan, we know. Kids love Hulk Hogan. I am a kid who loved Macho Man, so those two. Kids love Sting, the little Stingers, all of that. The Ultimate Warrior, the Ultimate Warrior, we already know the kids love them. Did the kids love Ric Flair, though?
No. No, and unless we're counting kids as like teenagers, like high school kids, no.
Kids love Bret Hart. Yep, it was a whole commercial.
Mm-hmm, yeah.
Bret!
They want the glasses.
Like, so you see where I'm going, right?
For sure.
If you want to be a star, you can't, and this is why I have an issue with wrestlers wanting to be tweeners. And I just want to be the tweener guy and everything.
Cook.
The in-ring product is going to get the men. Outside of the ring, to me, is where the women and the children come in. And there's only so few wrestlers, in my opinion, that got the fellas, that got the women, and that got the kids.
Yeah.
Hulk Hogan. Sting, forget Hulk Hogan. Sting would have been the biggest wrestler in the world if he'd been in WWF.
For sure.
He had the look, he had the ladies, he can wrestle, and the kids. That's why, if you guys, like, for you that really love wrestling, go watch 80s and 90s wrestling. And don't watch the in-ring product. Watch the crowd and watch the promo. Because when you start hearing Sting say the little Stingers out here, Ric Flair didn't say the little woos. He ain't give a shit about them little woos. He gave a shit about they mama.
Yeah, yeah.
Tully gave a shit about the mama. That's why I say Ric Flair. The fellas wanted to be Ric Flair. The ladies wanted to be in bed with Ric Flair. The kids ain't know what was going on.
Yeah, they got to go in the other room.
But when Sting come out, the ladies is, the fellas is, and the kids is, Sting. that's what I feel that people are missing when we have this conversation. Yeah. Dude that was watching the pod a couple of weeks ago was talking about draw. This is when we have the conversation about drawing.
For sure.
Because that's what I feel that AEW is missing. They're missing the person that the men want to be like, the women want to sleep with, yep. and the kids want to be like when they grow up.
Yep. Absolutely.
That's what, that is the three right there that to me makes you a draw. And I am not somebody that has been in a wrestling boardroom. I have not been backstage booking or anything like that. But I knew who I liked growing up. Mm-hmm. And if I have a conversation with the homies, I know who they like growing up.
Yeah.
Ric Flair, I was not a Ric Flair fan as a child. But as an adult, woo!
Yeah.
Sting was the man. I told y'all I'm not a big Hulk Hogan fan, but yep. if I am a real American, come on, it's a bop.
For sure.
The Macho Man, the ladies wasn't rocking with Macho Man. Macho Man ain't had no holes until he got the WCW.
Yeah.
And that was at the back end of his career with Medusa and Gorgeous George and Molly Holly. That's when he finally got holes.
Yeah.
You know what I'm saying? He didn't, Macho Man ain't had no holes. In the NWO, he was probably the only NWO member that really didn't have no holes.
And was looking anxious about it on the way to the ring.
Yeah, like, ooh, ooh, where's the bitches? Ooh, 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 ooh. Scott! Scott! Where's the holes? No holes for me. No holes for me. Hogan! Like, no. You send your ooh with Elizabeth. Ooh, ooh. Ooh, he's Elizabeth. So, and this is, and I'm not talking about North Carolina. I'm talking about overall.
Yeah, yeah, for sure.
In North Carolina, yeah, because you probably going to see Ric Flair out at the goddamn Kroger. I'm talking about when you cut that TV on, you ain't see little kids. Like, yeah. Ooh, Rick, you saw grown men dressed up in suits with a sign that says, "We're the Four Horsemen."
Yeah.
When Sting ass popped out, doom 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 doom
doom doom doom doom doom doom
doom doom doom doom doom doom doom doom doom doom doom doom doom doom doom doom doom doom doom doom doom doom doom doom doom Nikita Koloff. I think it was Nikita Koloff. I might be wrong.
Trying to smack Sting up when he was on the phone with kids?
No, it wasn't. No, for not the phone. I want to say this is Nikita Koloff, and if I'm wrong, tell me who it was. Because it's either Nikita Koloff or Cactus Jack, and I think it's Nikita Koloff. Hmm. They did a contest of a Sting Kitty lookalike contest.
Yeah, okay.
And Jim Ross was talking to the kid. He just won, and Sting comes out, and the crowd goes nuts. Yeah. And the kid gets to meet Sting for the first time. And Nikita Koloff comes out, and he whoops the shit out of Sting in front of the kid.
Yeah, and wiped the paint off his face.
You as a kid is traumatized because your favorite wrestler just got his ass whooped in front of you.
Yeah.
So hey, as a kid, what that makes you do? Hey, I'm rooting for this because you ain't beat yeah. Sting's ass in yeah. front of me.
Hey, at 9, 10 years old, traumatic. At 18 to 25. Hard body because he yes. started, he was like, what? He said it was almost like he was offended that we even talking to a kid.
Yeah.
They got paint on his face like Sting, and I don't even like dude. He was like, so look, right. I'm about to beat him up in front of you. I'm about to smear the paint off of his face and let you deal with that. Like, hey, yo, that's who you like.
When Doom breaks up, Jim Ross talks to the little black boy after Doom breaks up, and he asks the little black boy, yo, who is your favorite? Who's your favorite wrestler tag team? The black boy says, Doom. Jim Ross said, oh, shit, man. Back to you, Tony. Like the kids. We pod. We talk about wrestling all day long, twice on Sunday. We love all of the pay-per-views. We love all of the PLEs. But damn it, I am 44. You're 45. This product ain't for us. This product is for my 12-year-old son that's upstairs. This product is for my 7-year-old upstairs. Even though they say 13 and up. No. When we were growing up, it was blood in WCW. Niggas was doing this shit and bleeding and that thing. You was like, oh my God, I can't believe this thing is bleeding. And it made you cheer for the person who was getting their ass whooped. Fam, if you don't believe me, go watch a Sam Houston match in WWF. You ain't even got to watch him in Mid-South and anything else. Go watch him in WWF. White meat, baby face, blonde hair. He gets his ass beat by somebody. It's like, oh, damn. I don't want Sam Houston to get his ass whooped. No. That, my friends, is kids, women that are meeting the grown men in the middle. Yeah. I don't like Sam Houston. He ain't it. But the kids and the ladies are out there yelling, oh, Sam Houston getting his ass whooped. The Killer Bees. Them niggas put on the mask and shit. Woo, kitty shit. Yeah, Vince mastered that shit. Merch right there. Dance for the kids. Woo, niggas like, hey, they gotta put on mask and shit. What the fuck is we doing? The Hart Foundation come out. Oh, ladies. Well, this Bret Hart dude, he kind of decent for a Canadian. Jim Neidhart, the fellas. Oh, shit, Jim Neidhart look like he could drink you under the table. I bet we liked, and then, oh, the glasses come into play. Oh, Vince, hey, Brett, them cool ass shades. Every time you go out, give it to a kid. Kids are reeled in now.
Yep.
That's it.
Yeah.
That's when I look at drawing. Who got the women? Who got the kids? Who got the fellas? And somebody got to tell me in AEW who got that on a global scale. The fellas, the women, and it's not just in their hometown. When we go to Wembley, no. When we come to Chicago, the ladies like, oh, he in town? Not the wrestling ladies. The ladies. Oh, he in town? Who's the hot ticket?
Yeah.
You know, AEW is one person away from that.
Yeah, no, I agree. And another thing, to this tweener, anti-hero like movement, you know, there's one thing for other wrestlers or commentators to talk you up about being a badass, but what really makes you a badass is when women think you're a badass.
Yeah,
like that's what really matters. And again, so many wrestlers of today, they're not capturing the, hey, here's Radio 101 for you. They're not capturing the theater of the mind of this thing. They some people are trying to be too real or too authentic to the point that they come off as cosplay. And that's why you're not over. See this, and I'm glad Kofi kind of spoke to the pay cut thing, because you know what? I really don't know how women felt about Kofi as a member of the New Day, because they had the kids in a frenzy. But I'll tell you this, when in 2012, I think it was, it had to have been, WWE was coming for Survivor Series. They were coming to Indianapolis, and a woman, a matter of fact, the homegirl Megan, who was the promotions director for TLC, AM and FM, never watched wrestling a day in her eyes, a life, seen a picture of Kofi Kingston. She was like, oh my God, who is that? And I was like, oh, that's Kofi Kingston. I was like, yo, he a real star. I was like, they had this program with Randy Orton, but they kind of cut it too short. I'm pissed about that. She was like, he can have control of my life. And I was like, oh, damn. Okay. Here we go. Found out what you like. But I was like, damn. Talk about the window for Kofi Kingston. Had they realized black women would be over the moon for him, man, does that change his trajectory. But you know, they gave him a different route or he chose a different route. But that's why the pay cut for him is disrespectful. It's like, hey, man, the next generation spends money on me. You're worried about the wrong thing. and that's why I'm not taking this pay cut. Like, you know how many bootios and T-shirts and unicorn horns we sold? Like, no, you actually owe me. Like, you actually owe me for this. And then, yeah. and that's the difference.
Yeah, the new day was me more kids. Like, they for had sure. kids more. And yeah, look, Kofi ain't like when somebody says, yo, I'm attracted to Kofi Kingston. And when I say somebody, you know what I mean. You know what they into. We had this story when a young lady told me that, you know, she had a crush on Tyrus Thomas. And I was like, oh, hey, fam, she trying to nail. She wants you to nail because who going to say they like Tyrus Thomas?
Right? Yeah, that's you sought that out.
Yeah, you
sought don't even that have out. His jersey.
Right. Like,
jersey and the champs.
You know what you want, right? My thing with the New Day was all kids because the fellas was booing them. They wasn't over. Like, when they say the New Day wasn't over, the New Day wasn't over because black men and men in general did not know what to think of this Kirk Franklin-ass shit. But once they got the kids, bro, once you had the kids, that's it. Once you got the kids, fam, it is a wrap. You gonna be around until they grow up. They gonna be around till they grow up.
Yep.
Now, when they age out, that's when the conversation comes. When they age out, once they get older, are they gonna stick with you? This is a great segue to the new level. This is the new level now. I'm gonna stand on this, Kent. I might be the only one in on the internet that feels this way.
Mm-hmm.
But Austin Creed better be Austin Creed better be an AEW world champion. Okay. When we look at the AEW champions outside of John Moxley, Austin Creed belongs in that group. And I'm gonna tell you this. So when I watched an All In last week, the whole presentation, when you see the press start come on the screen and you hear New Level come on and all of that stuff. Kofi, I bet. No, glad to see him. But Austin Creed, star power rang out to me.
For sure.
It rang out. What y'all heard me say on this podcast, the WWE cameras is do something to some people. You can see them somewhere else, but they put them in front of the WWE camera, and it's just like, yo, this person looks totally different.
Mm-hmm.
Austin Creed is the first person for me that when they got in front of an AEW camera, they looked much better than they did in the WWE camera. At AEW, Austin Creed rings out as a star to me. And he just turned 40, I believe.
Mm-hmm.
He rings out as a star. I said on this show, I did not want them to win the Trios Championship. I didn't want that. And I still didn't want that watching the match. And when they won it, I was like, man, it's some bullshit. However, if there was a WWE star that belongs in AEW, and to me, should be the AEW champion. Yes, we could say that for Bobby Lashley because of the look, and he's a former WWE champion.
Mm-hmm.
We could say that about Shelton Benjamin because we feel like he should have been a world champion.
Mm-hmm.
But to me, and I'm only speaking for me, I'm not speaking for Kent, I'm not speaking for First Black Champ, I'm speaking for me.
Mm-hmm.
When I saw Austin Creed on that camera last week, I said, damn. He looks like he belongs here.
Mm.
I said, damn. Considering looking at Kenny Omega and Will and some of the others here, he has, to me, the correct balance. He can talk on the mic. He looks good. He has the kids, bro. Austin Creed in 2027 better be an AEW world champion. To me, it is no doubt about it. It should be a foregone conclusion. You ain't got to do it right now, but in 2027, he better have that title at least one time.
I love what you said, and I don't know about timeline, but I'm definitely going to agree, because one of the things that we never truly highlight is how Xavier Woods got the New Day over.
Yep.
It was Xavier Woods that got them over. Yes, we already love Kofi, and he was already a multiple, you know, Intercontinental and U.S. champion and a tag team champion before they even got there. And Big E had his thing already. And he was even, you know, the NXT champion. But it was Austin Creed that really put them three together, gave them some identity, gave them some X-Factor things, said some X-Factor things in some promos. He brought the hip-hop element into it that was palatable for white people. Like, he's done a lot. If you and if we went through the last 10 years, because what, the New Day started in 2015, 2016, now we're in 2026. Austin Creed has rights to the claim of being one of the biggest new stars in wrestling, period. That means he's up there with Roman Reigns and Seth Rollins. No, he never main evented a WrestleMania. No, he never won a world title. But when your presence becomes great, whether you're in the ring or not, and you're an active piece, and they put you on posters and marquee boards, whether you on WrestleMania, whether you have a match or not, that's saying a whole lot. That's saying a whole lot. And it gets lost in the shuffle because of maybe what Vince and Triple H's vision of him was versus who he really can be. But now, to your point, you put him over there with those AEW cameras, and you put him next against that that roster, and he's a bigger star than Hangman Adam Page. He's an equal star to Jon Moxley, if you want my personal opinion. He's bigger than Orange Cassidy and Darby Allin, and he's a bigger star than 80% of that roster, and I'm being generous with 80. So it does make complete sense to me. I don't know how fast they'll pull the trigger, but I definitely think they should. It didn't compute the first time you said it. I'll keep it real. But after seeing them from the intro to the match to the tag team thing, I was like, oh, wait, hold up. You know, not so quietly, almost called him his old name, Austin Creed has really shined in all of this and brightly. And that can't be denied.
Yeah. Well, moving on to some controversy that happened, especially with the WWE making their way to Mexico City tomorrow.
Oh, yeah.
Andrade accused the WWE for giving special treatment pushes to Samoan wrestlers over Mexican talent. He said this on a podcast. He talked about he was going through it, and then he mentioned Samoan. He's like, well, we know what he's talking about. Right. Jey Uso defended their position by posting, "We draw. That's the difference between us and them." I'm not going to get into a debate with Mexicans and Samoan wrestlers, right? Because here's the thing to my Spanish brothers in the square circle. Y'all got Eddie Guerrero, right? Samoans had Yokozuna, who, outside of Samoa, we thought growing up was Japanese.
Yep.
Right? We didn't know he was Samoan. Unless you was an OG and you saw him in the AWA. We didn't know. Right? We didn't compute. The Rock, as you said, he's the greatest biracial wrestler of all time. Right?
Hey. Facts are the facts.
Hey. And that one side, you don't necessarily compute a lot, right? So when we look at the Usos and we look at Roman Reigns, like Samoans who put on boots, like that's how I'm going to split this up. That sounds bad. When we talk about Samoans who put on boots and don't have bones in their mouth, and act like complete savages.
Yeah.
That starts for me with the Usos and then Roman Reigns, right? So I ain't talking about, we can't talk, because Eddie Guerrero, former world champion, Samoa's got Samoa. Like, who was the first Samoan wrestler that you remember put on boots? Remember when they put the boots on the head shrinkers and they was like, yo, they gotta put on boots.
Yeah.
Yeah, put on boots. It was a big deal. See, this is this.
Yeah, it was.
Share this podcast with a friend, y'all. See, this is why I say, I know y'all be looking at these other podcasts, but they don't have the conversations we having, because they want to be friends with all of these people and all of that stuff. Now, if Rikishi came on this podcast today, I will ask him how disrespected he felt when it was a whole damn storyline around the head shrinkers having on boots and not being used to put on boots. Yeah. And they was walking around the ring and they was like, really, yeah, like, damn, I got on boots. What the hell going on? Yeah. And it was a whole thing where it was like, yo, they got to get used to the boots. That's crazy to me.
It is.
It was crazy then.
Yeah.
It's crazy then. So
talk about the epitome of you not being a human being.
Right.
You're telling me that wearing boots is the new challenge for you.
It's a new challenge. In fact, I was watching, I think it was Royal Rumble 91. And I was like, damn, I totally forgot Jimmy Snuka had boots on for a minute. Like,
oh yeah, yeah. Damn. Hey, I literally was gonna tell you Super Rikishi, but no, yeah, it was Jimmy Snuka when they changed. We had the it was almost like leopard tiger print.
Yes. Yes. I was like, yo, he got on boots. So look, we had Rey Mysterio, we had Eddie Guerrero, we had a number of mass wrestlers and everything. Mm-hmm. And like Donnie just said, you had but a Samoan, you know, Samoans gonna do three moves that categorize them as a Samoan or a Pacific Islander. A headbutt, a Samoan drop, and a splash. I think Roman Reigns, I don't know, y'all, mate, because we're not gonna count the rock in this. Roman Reigns might be the first Samoan that I remember that did not do a splash off the top rope.
Oh no, facts. Yeah, facts. The highest he got is that Superman punch and the drive by.
Right. That was it, yeah. Y'all. So what I'm saying is I feel you, Andrade, about now, but my brother in Christ, y'all had years, man.
Man.
Y'all had a while.
I don't feel Andrade at all.
Is this the wrong fight we having? Like, Andrade, is Andrade wrong for bringing this up? Because this the wrong fight we should be fighting. Two minority groups in wrestling being put against each other? Or is this crabs in the barrel mentality when it comes to racism in wrestling?
Yeah, to everything you said, yeah. So, yeah, first Andrade is way off base. Because it's more Mexican wrestlers, just more over than him. See, this is the problem when wrestlers start getting on X.
Stop being on podcasts.
Yeah. And they start getting on Reddit and start reading the comments. Oh, Andrade should be a multiple-time world champion. No, he shouldn't. Who he bringing to the table? Who? What arena he pack out? Hey, what YMCA he pack out? What high school he sell out? I'll never remember it. I'll never remember none of that. Dude, Ray Phoenix more over than him.
Hey, y'all know what time it is. Wait. Y'all know what time it is. Y'all goddamn know what time it is. Nope. Hey, Camp, the floor is yours. Let me go ahead and take myself out this shit because I already feel it. Hold on. Remove from stage.
Man, listen. but no, real talk, though. Look, I don't even really mess with Penta like that. But Penta's way more over than him. He's about to face Roman Reigns. And that's not even trying to be like facetious or condescending or anything. But Andrade's doing this because he can't blame his ex-wife. You know what I'm saying? Like, he would love to blame Charlotte Flair for why he ain't successful. He would love to blame Ric Flair about why he can't get it done. But in reality, bro, yeah, you wrestle really well. But honestly, every time I see you, the only thing I think of is if they ever do a movie on Danny Trejo, you could star in the biopic. That's the thing I think about when I see Andrade every single time. Maybe you just not that great, bro. Maybe that's it. There's other Mexican wrestlers greater than you. How can you say that when Rey Mysterio was alive? And he got a son on that you outweigh by 60 pounds. And I'm sure women would say you look better than him. But yet he more over than you. And they book him with women. And kids want to beat him and eat chicken tenders with him. How you going to say that? Yo, fighting with Samoans, you're not the 10th best Mexican wrestler in the world right now. That's your problem. You're not in the top 10 of Mexican wrestlers as superstars. That's your problem. Leave Samoans out of this. That's your real issue, bro. So, hey, your masks are cool, though. I do like your mask. I wanted every single mask you ever came down to the ring with. So I'll give you that. Your promos are not great. Again, you worried about the wrong thing, bud. And somebody needs to tell you, Carlito ain't Mexican, but he comes back and he's more over than you by just biting an apple. Angel, and what's my man? I almost call him
Humberto.
Yeah, Humberto and Angel. They get a pop every time they come out, and all they do is rip off pants and job. Like, bro, this is just not for you, family. That's just what it is. So before you get to read the IWC comments and you get to drinking their Kool-Aid and thinking it's delicious, look at yourself and look at the top Mexican wrestlers of today and tell me you number 1 through 5. I think you'd be unfortunately surprised.
Damn. Look, man.
Sorry. Hey, somebody got to tell wrestlers the truth. I'm with you. Hey, look, I want to meet wrestlers and shake hands and have real conversation with them too. I'm not about to be delusional, though. I'm not about to be delusional. I'm not about to sit here and act like some of them should get more than what they deserve. This is a real wrestling fan podcast. This is a real wrestling fan. Like, we're 30, 40 years in on watching the product. Most of the wrestlers that we grew up on are dead. Yeah. Or incapacitated and they can't just wrestle.
Yeah.
So I'm not just talking just to hear myself and to make new wrestling fans respect me or like me. No, I've been watching so long that I know that you're not over. You've never been Tito Santana, bro. You've never been that. I'm sorry. Go ahead. Go ahead. First Black Chat podcast. I'm sorry. Go ahead.
Damn. Shit. I'm trying to find. I think Andrade is fighting the wrong fight, fam. I think Andrade. Sometimes people don't deserve to be in front of mics, man. You ain't gotta be in front of mics. Cause even if you thought that to be the case, my brother, my whole thing is even if you thought that to be the case, man, Samoans have been treated. So Donnie, it's funny that you say that, because I have a couple of ideas on t-shirt designs and looks and stuff like that. Yeah, it's hard to follow, y'all. I'm just going to say this, because the chicken tenders got me. Like, people want to eat chicken tenders with Dominic Mysterio. They don't even want to eat tacos with you, my G. As somebody who is a fan of Andrade, because I am a fan of his. This ain't the fight, my G. This ain't the fight. As I said earlier, man, Rikishi, the Head Shrinkers had a whole program where these folks put on boots and I think it was Bobby the Brain Heenan was like, yo, they don't even know how to wrestle in boots. They ain't never had to wear boots in their life. We got to look at the history of Samoan wrestlers. And if there's any group, in my opinion, that deserves a documentary on the change of how people viewed them in wrestling, it is Pacific Islanders. Because now you see, I didn't say Samoan, I said Pacific Islanders. Rock with me.
Mm-hmm.
They were henchmen. Like, they were Asian henchmen. Or they had grass skirts on and they they was looked at as savages.
Mm-hmm.
Some of the most racist moments in wrestling are with Pacific Islanders. You got Rowdy Roddy Piper hitting Jimmy Snuka in the head with a coconut. You got the Islanders kidnapping a dog, and they're worried that these Islanders are going to cook the dog. This is just WWF, y'all.
This is just WWF.
The Islanders go to NWA WCW, and they become the Samoan SWAT team. In my time as a kid, when I first started watching wrestlers, I was legit scared of the Samoan SWAT team. Because they were savages.
They're eating the dogs.
At the same time, is there a Mexican wrestler in the WWF that's a former Intercontinental Champion, a former Tag Team Champion? You goddamn right. It is Tito Santana, who's going through his whole racial barrier when it comes to Bobby the Brain and announcers. The Flying Burrito. Go watch a Tito Santana match and tell me there's nothing racial about it. But then we get to the 90s. And the WWE has a contract with C-Mill. And we see these wrestlers coming over in the minis and everything. At the same time this is happening, Rikishi can't wear boots. Samu and Fatu can't wear boots, y'all. They can't wear boots. They're a tag team champion. But they can't wear boots. And Alpha is sitting around there like with a staff. And like, y'all get Rey Mysterio and Eddie Guerrero, and Fatu is now Rikishi, and he's from the streets of San Francisco. They got shot. Now you're blood. But then the Samoan gangster party, like, no, you still a gangster. And then they take him off TV and they make him a Samoan again. He's Rikishi Fatu. Now he's putting his ass in people's faces.
Yeah.
We ain't even got to talk about Rocky, because I told y'all he's Cointel Pro at this point. Yeah. The Rock is Cointel Pro. We don't get, in my opinion, matter of fact, wait a minute. Hold on. Which one is it? Deuce or Domino? That's Jimmy Snuka's son. They turned that man from a Pacific Islander to a greaser.
Yeah.
Yokozuna is not even Samoan. He's Japanese. And all he says is banzai, which I think is racist to Japanese and Samoans.
Yeah.
And all this dude knows is one word. His name is Rodney, y'all. And Yokozuna's real name is Rodney. Rodney, y'all. You can't have more of a nigga name than Rodney.
Right.
He couldn't be Rodney. No, he couldn't. Because they're like, why is his name Rodney? No, he had to be like Samoan Gargantuan or something. They're like, oh, nah, we ain't gonna. Coquina Maximus was his name. They was like, no, uh-uh. It's too. Yeah. You know what they said, y'all? Andrade, just go look at your. Andrade, my brother in Christ. They said there's too many Samoans on the roster. Nigga, it was two. It was two. And you know what they said? Hey, we don't need three. What should we do with them? Sergeant Slaughter, make them Japanese. Come on, fam. Yeah. And right. look who said make them Japanese. The Sergeant of America. Sergeant Slaughter. And make them Japanese. Call them Yokozuna. Yeah, it might be a great idea.
To give them one word. And it means planted in container.
Right. At the same time, Eddie Guerrero is out here doing this thing, my G. Like, we got Ultimo Dragon, who got goddamn every championship in the world, basically. This nigga's coming to the ring like this. Like, man. Freddy chasing out an old girl, but he got belts on his arm. Yeah. We've seen Mexican success.
Yeah.
Is what I'm saying. Andrade, we've seen real, true Mexican success in our times.
Yeah.
Every time we saw Samoan, we turned him to another race. We kept him as a savage. We made them a superhero. We just start getting normal Samoans with the Usos and Roman Reigns.
Yeah.
And Roman Reigns, even though we know he was Samoan, he was a member of a group that just whooped people ass. He ain't spotlighted Samoan culture until he became who he is now. Mm-hmm. The Usos, in my opinion, are the ones who changed Samoan culture in the WWE.
I'm not mad at that.
To me, the two people who made me look at Samoans a lot differently in the WWF ain't Roman, ain't Rocky, ain't Rikishi, ain't Tonga Kid, ain't Haku, because they Tongans. And Tonga Kid is actually Samoan, because that's Jacob Daddy. The two people who changed Samoan culture in the WWE to me is the Usos. So for Jay to say something about it, you goddamn right Jay should have said something about it. Because when I look at Samoan culture in the WWE, that might be their cousin. He might be the tribal chief, but the Usos are the OGs when it comes to Samoan culture the way it is now in the WWE. And they changed from them being savages and walking down the ring with bones in their necks and toothpicks in their nose and no shoes on and just tape on them bitches and walking down with a skirt and just, ha, nah, and doing all that shit. No, G, like, nah. So I don't want to hear it, fam. We've been seeing one of the greatest wrestling matches I've ever seen was Eddie Guerrero versus Rey Mysterio at goddamn Halloween Havoc. I want to say it was 1996. Mm. Fam, y'all still getting tick out here, my G. So for just because sure. Your ass was in the WWE twice, how, mind you, twice. And the fact that ain't even nobody say, let's put you with your wife at the time. Come on, my brother in Christ. You being Charlotte Flair's husband didn't help you in this situation. You was dry then, and you went to the place where you could be dry but still get your wrestling off.
Yeah.
So,
yeah.
I mean, but shit. Dominic Mysterio out here eating tenders with kids and that thing. Now,
that's over.
Right.
Over, too.
Now, that's a great segue to what we're getting tomorrow. Or Monday, depending on when you listen to it, Monday. WWE is in Mexico City all week long, and it starts on Monday Night Raw. And we get first Chad Gable versus Dragon Lee. Now, I know what Camp's going to say. I'm tired of Chad Gable wrestling mask wrestlers. I get it. But goddamn it, you're not going to tell me that this might be the best match in Mexico City between a WWE and a goddamn mass wrestler or just a whatever superstar. Because Dragon Lee and Chad Gable is going to be bonkers to me. That's going to be nice. But I need hear it from Kemp. You are
I mean, hey, I'll support good wrestling, I guess.
You know what I mean? Like, I need to hear it. I'm tired of new wrestling matches.
Yeah, hey, listen, yeah, man. Hey, listen. First, he went from wanting to beat up all the Latins and Hispanics and Mexicans to now he was helping them on Monday Night Raw just to have another match with them. You know what I mean? It's like, again, but this maybe this is the real relationship of white males with Mexico and Mexicans in America. You know, it's like, hey, at one point, it's like, oh, my God, I don't understand. Get out of here. Get out of here. Oh, wait. Oh, God, you got quesadillas? Oh, my God. Hold on. Wait. And then it's like, you know what? Hey, I think I'll just buy Azteca from you. You know, it's like, all right, bro. Like, what are we doing? But, yes, I'm tired of this. There could be better booking for Chad Gable, but we're going to get great wrestling for a title that matters again. So I can't be mad. I can't be hating. I can't be any of those things. But damn, let's get Chad Gable, just somebody without a mask that just happens to be from anywhere else. They ain't got to be from America. They can be from Africa. They can be from Canada. They can be Australian. I don't care. I just want to see Chad Gable in a different program with somebody else from anywhere else at this point.
Hey, man, I can't wait to see this match. I think it's going to be dope. But I've also said, now, here's the thing. I think Dragon Lee could be the Intercontinental Champion and give us workhorse matches and all of that stuff. And I'm more interested to see and hear the pop that Chad Gable is going to get in Mexico, because he did get a large ass pop, you know, when they did the mask off thing. Roman Reigns versus Penta. Look, we know Penta's not winning the match, and I think this is going to be a dope match there for Mexico City. So we ain't even got to go through all that. I think both of us are going to look at a great match on Raw on Netflix tomorrow. But when we get to SmackDown, SmackDown got the ones. War Raiders versus R-Truth and Damian Priest. So I think Damian Priest is going to turn on R-Truth. Right then and there. Yeah, he's going to choke slam the shit out of him.
Okay.
Once they lose that shit. Because they not beating the War Raiders for the AAA championship. And then when they lose that, Damian Priest is going to whoop the shit out that man. So in Mexico. So a black dude going to get his ass kicked in Mexico City, y'all. Cruiserweight Championship, Rey Fénix versus Ricky Starks. I think we're going to get another burner right there. Women's Championship, though, your favorite, Nia Jax, goes up against Chelsea Green. Do you think Nia Jax take the belt home?
I do, because they're doing too much with this Orbital Bone storyline, and yet it's going nowhere at the same time.
Well, I think Chelsea Green is going to win with some chicanery and shit. At the same time, I think that Chelsea Green versus Tiffany Stratton is going to be the way that they go eventually anyway, because she getting her ass kicked for shorty. But then we have the undisputed WWE Championship. CM Punk, Sami Zayn. The heat between all of these people, and a great match with CM Punk and Johnny Gargano. Great match. But I'm going to move off that real quick, because Johnny Gargano was still the sixth person in the Armageddon. He's the sixth person in the Armageddon Hell in a Cell match. He's the sixth person in the Championship Scramble match. However, now we're getting CM Punk, Sami Zayn. Do you think the WWE got the guts to take the belt off of CM Punk in Mexico City? That's first question.
They better. I say yes, but they better. Because that's wrestling. That's pro wrestling. That's why. Short answer.
But these two wrestlers got history with masks. Remember when CM Punk was going up against Rey Mysterio and he had the Straight Edge Society mask? But then also, Sami Zayn is El Generico. Mm-hmm. Do you think the WWE got the guts to have these two come down the ring in their mask?
Now that I don't think so. Mm-hmm. I don't think so. Mm-hmm. I'll admit, it would be pretty cool, but I don't think so.
I got a theory, Kemp. Because if a title drops with some chicanery, here's the chicanery I want. I want Sami Zayn to win on Friday with El Generico having the mask on and attacking CM Punk and giving Sami Zayn the chance to win. And he wins. And like, wait a minute, what? Hold on. Huh? How? What? If we get some chicanery, Kemp, that's the type of chicanery I want. Because that will do a lot of callbacks. It would be hilarious. That callback goes back to ROH. Because all of these people got ROH history. If Sami Zayn wins, that's how I want him to win. All right, before we jump down and get ready for Mexico City, we got Sunday night's main event tonight. Want to see if we're sticking with our predictions. Let's start with the six women tag team match. Charlotte Flair, Alexa Bliss, and Tatum Paxley versus Jay Cargill, Mee Chin, and B-Fab. Are you sticking with your prediction of Jade and the family, or are you switching it?
Nope. I'm going to stay with the baddies cast. You know what I'm saying? And we're going to rock out.
I'm going to go with Charlotte Flair, Alexa Bliss, and Tatum Paxley. United States Championship conditional match only happens if Lil Yachty lasts 5 minutes with Baron Corbin. Mm-hmm. I'm going to assume that's going to happen in this pause-worthy match. Does Trick Williams defeat Baron Corbin for the United States Championship?
Yes. Yes, he does. Because they gave him they gave Yachty too much TV time with that promo. So, yeah.
Yeah. I got him. Yeah, I believe that's going to happen as well. The real match of the night, ladies and gentlemen, in my opinion, the real match of the night. Obafemi, Bron Breakker. Is it going to be Bron or is it going to be Oba? I'm going to stick with my prediction that it is Bron Breakker, because if Obafemi wins, there's no reason to continue this feud. Who do you have?
Yeah. See, I want to say Obafemi, but I just feel that there's more. Well, the momentum is on his side. The momentum's on his side. Even though this match is important, if it's a must-win for both, the scales tilt a little more for Bron Breakker. But, nah, screw it. Screw it. I'm going to go Obafemi. Mm. Screw it. I'm going to go Obafemi. Because somebody has to shake up what's happening on Raw and ascend above even the story that is Roman Reigns. And if Obafemi can take down Brock Lesnar, who is the god of white boy wrestling fans everywhere, and he can take out their emerging rising star in the same year, boy, does that clear the space for him to say, hey, I'm the king of the white boys, if nothing else. So now let me go after this title. And maybe that means taking out LA Knight in the process. Who knows? But I'm going to go with Obafemi, but absolutely not surprised at all if Bron Breakker wins. But also, I am expecting to see the shock of the night, which is Paul Heyman standing next to Obafemi when this is over.
And the last match, the main event of the evening in a WrestleMania rematch, in the build-up, in my opinion, way better than the build-up to WrestleMania, because we ain't got Pat McAfee or Jelly Roll involved. Cody Rhodes, Randall, Keith Orton, RKO, who do you have? Do you have Randall or do you have Cody?
Because I think it's Oba's night, I'm going Randy Orton. Yeah.
I'm going to go Randy Orton as well. To your point, if you feel like that, that's going to be the case right there. I think that Paul Heyman is going to stick beside Braun. That's the one who needs it the most. So I think that Randall is going to win this one as well. Any guarantees, Cap?
Man, you know what? Honestly, hey, look, I guarantee that we need to have more title changes and unexpected finishes on Raw and SmackDown before that viewership hits the toilet. I don't like Johnny Wrestling. We know this. But, you know, I kind of feel like even if it was for a week, even if it was for a weekend, because we got a special event coming up on this weekend. I think the VKM model would have been like, hey, let Johnny go over in Cleveland at the crib today. But hey, Sunday, he dropping that hole right back to you. Because if nothing else, you want the weekend of the uptick in merch. You want the uptick in conversation about the product. You want the uptick in the how long can he keep the title. You know, Kane was the world heavyweight champion for 36 hours at one point. And now every title match on Raw or SmackDown feels like a jobber match, a suspenseful jobber match. We've now reached the land of 1,000 Barry Horowitz that get more TV time. I don't think that's wise. I just don't think that's wise for wrestling fans. I don't think that's wise for a product, because why are we tuning in?
Right.
Even though Penta's getting a really good look against Roman Reigns, nobody sees him winning this match. And wildly enough, we're not talking about how we're not okay with it, but my theory is also because we really not gonna watch no way. So I guarantee they gotta fix that. There's no suspense in wrestling title matches no more on Raw or SmackDown. They're literally sparring events. They're literally exhibitions. It's almost like they don't even count. And how are wrestlers going to put themselves in position to get over if we don't put them in enough moments that count? That's my guarantee this week.
I thought you had said this last week, and I had thought about what you said, and I actually agree with you. I do agree that we need to see more title changes on regular TV. I mean, more right now would be one or two at this point. And I think if we're going to be doing Saturday, and in this case, Sunday night's main event, I think we need to see more championship changes on levels like this, or these nights really don't matter. Yeah. It really does not matter. Now, with Randy Orton and Cody Rhodes not being a part of a championship program, I like this. In fact, I do like the fact that the main events here have nothing to do with the championship. But when we look at Mexico City, I think it makes it even bigger when you see the opportunity of CM Punk losing the belt to Sami Zayn. And now everybody chasing Sami Zayn. Which goes to my guarantee. I am going to put a guarantee behind it, Kemp.
Okay.
I'm going to guarantee that Sami Zayn wins on Friday. Only reason why I'm saying that is this. Everybody's chasing Sammy. So if everybody's chasing Sammy, if you look at Friday, everybody chased him. Finn chased him. Gunther chased him. Punk chased him. Everybody chased him.
Mm-hmm.
They ain't chasing CM Punk. They're chasing Sammy.
Yeah.
Put the belt on Sammy. Put the belt on the person that you're chasing. So I'm going to put a guarantee behind it. Sami Zayn will leave Mexico City as the WWE Undisputed Champion for the second time. Man, this was a great episode. And when we have the conversations around chicken tendies, look no further than Dominic Mysterio,
you know,
and
man,
Andrade.
It's only right.
But remember, man, October, y'all get ready. We talking about back wrestling experience. So y'all get ready for these episodes. But Camp, floor is yours. Yeah.
Yes, yes, man. Hey, listen, we appreciate y'all tuning in to the First Black Champ podcast, man. Girl, Dad, you almost got me super out of my game with that with that message. We're going to ignore you, sir. But God bless on a Sunday. All right. Hey, but listen, even though that comment was unsavory, we appreciate how you communicate and how you engage with the FBC product. Everything that y'all do as a part of this community is greatly appreciated. And we thank you humbly and respectfully at all times. Man, so just remember, if you ever want to talk about wrestling in an unconventional way, you do so by checking out the First Black Champ podcast. It's your podcast, Intercontinental Champion Camp from the Port with the VP DOC JR Bang. And we are out. F Johnny Wrestling, and I love you, Nia Jax.
And rest in peace to the Butcher and Superstar Dundee.